إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا.
Brothers, if we move all the way to that side, so when the other people come, because unfortunately this room is smaller than the other one. جزاكم الله خير.
أما بعد. Today's topic, as you know, because there isn't classes on campus, I thought the brothers be less, is a topic addressed to our sisters. However, it's not only addressed to our sisters. It is addressed to our brothers as well. Because as you're going to see in the Quran, Allah set forth examples of women. And these women, as examples they were examples not only of women, but examples for men to follow in their footsteps. In Islam, we need to know, our sisters need to know their value, and the brothers need to know the value of their sisters in order for Islam to become supreme. Let us start off with the most basic issue. Who was the first Muslim to say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولَ اللَّهُ. We already had a khutbah on Khadija radiallahu anha. It's unanimous. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, it's unanimous. The first one whose head bowed down for the sake of Allah was Khadija radiallahu anha, who is among the first women who migrated from Mecca to Habasha. Fatima bint Uqba, among the first of the first, were women who were the first dua of this ummah. The first da'iyah was Khadija. Some of the most famous men you know of that we mentioned so much embraced Islam through their women. How did Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu embrace Islam? He headed to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He took a sword and dropped it, put it in poison, meaning he was determined to kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what did he do? Rather than do that, a Sahabi found him and said, where are you going? He said, I'm killing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm killing Muhammad. He said, get your sister first. Get your sister first. Your sister Fatima bint al-Khattab embraced Islam. He said, she did. That man was a Muslim hiding in Islam. He wanted to safeguard the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he went in, he found Fatima bint al-Khattab, her husband, and Khabbab radiallahu anhuma teaching them Quran. So he said, what are you reading? He said, Quran. She refused to give him the pages. He slapped her so hard that her earring fell off her ear and she fell down. Then he took down her husband and put his knee on his chest on the ground and continued to punch him in his face. And all he could say is, Allahu Akbar and Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. But that made a change in Umar ibn Khattab's life. She told him, go take a shower and come back and read these pages. She came back. He came back. Allah opened his heart when he read Taha. مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ. Why? Because of a woman, Fatima bint al-Khattab. He went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we're going to see in a minute, and embraced Islam. Abu Talha, one of the most famous Sahaba, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu was madly in love with Sulaym. Love, jahiliyyah love, real love. So Sulaym embraced Islam. And she left Mecca to Medina. When she got to Medina as a Muslim, Abu Talha followed. He's in love with her. He said, when are we going to get married? Married? I say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you're not a Muslim. What about our love? I've gone. I'm in love with Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah now. He leaves her. Comes back the next day. He says, are we going to get married? She says, you're a kafir, I can't marry you. You're not a Muslim, I can't marry you. Then she told him, who do you worship? Who is the one who made that statue you worship? He said, so-and-so, the carpenter. He said, a carpenter makes your Lord and you worship him? He went back and said, what she's saying is the truth. I worship a Lord that's made by a carpenter. Wallahi, I never seen a human love anything more than Sulaim loved Islam. He went back. I want to embrace this Islam. She said, you embrace Islam and that's my dowry. I don't want dowry. I want you to be a Muslim, a righteously guided Muslim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Abu Talha, one of the biggest heroes of this Islamic Ummah. Woman played a role in every single factor of Islam. Every single factor you can think of. You name it, woman played a role in it. You know the story I'm about to finish about Umar ibn Khattab. When he walks in, they look through the peephole. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in his hideout. They say this is Umar. Hamza says, I will handle him. The Sahaba says, don't open for him. The Prophet said, open for him. As soon as he walks in, Hamza goes from behind him and wraps his arms around him. So he won't do nothing to the Prophet. The Prophet said, leave him. Leave him. The Prophet walks to him. And you know the Prophet had the wisdom with gentle people. He's gentle. With harsh people who understand harshness, he's harsh to them. People who are ex-slaves, women, he's nice and kind. Orphans he wipes on their heads. And Omar doesn't understand that kind of talk. He's a tough guy, he understands tough people. So the Prophet ﷺ grabs him. Omar, isn't it time you embrace Islam? Omar, isn't it? He lifted up by his clothing. Omar says, my knees were on the floor. He dropped me to the floor. Omar the giant, the strongest man of his time. What's the point of the story that I repeat a lot? Every time we repeat it, I repeat it for something else other than what I said it before. Sometimes it's to show how this man went that same day from house to house showing off he's a Muslim. Sometimes it's inspiration for da'wah. Today, it's to show you something between the lines of the story. When he went in, he said, I looked around. There was about 40 men and women. 40 men and women preparing the first stages of your religion. 40 men and women. Then Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu preparing the early stages of this religion and learning the religion with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umar said, why? We are on the truth? He said, yes. He said, why don't we go and spread the truth? He said, but Quraysh will arm us. He said, I take a line, you take a line. The first rally of Islam. He founded the first rally of Islam. He said, we walked in two lines. 40 men, again, 40 men and women amongst us. They were active in every single part of this religion from its early days. 40 men and women walked in two lines. One line behind Umar ibn Khattab, one line behind Hamza, the Prophet in the middle, chanting in the streets of Medina, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Women, 40 men and women, women always played an important role. When Allah told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn your close relatives, he said, oh, the family of so-and-so, I forewarn you about the judgment day. Oh, the family of so-and-so, I forewarn you about the judgment day. Ya Safiya, I forewarn you about the judgment day. Ya Fatima, I forewarn you. Those are the people, the men in tribes, he calls them. The women are special. Oh, Safiya. Oh, Fatima. More unique than that, if there's religions who talk about Islam, who claim that we degrade our women, yet in their holy books, they claim Hawa is the cause of us being on this earth from heaven. You know how the Quran words it? They word it as Hawa is the devil. As women are the devil. You know how the Quran words it? So what's wasalahuma shaytan? The shaytan instigated to both of them, plural. لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا plural, two. مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا two. مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا two. And then at the end of the chain of the verses it says, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّ it's Adam's fault because he was the man. Their books say Hawa is the devil. Our books say it's both of their faults. And then the bigger blame is on Adam عليه السلام. More so, verses in the Quran, when you want to be a true believer, who do you look up to? Who's your idol? Allah says it in the Quran. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Allah set an example for the believers. The male believers, when I always say, when Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, or something is directed to the male, in Arabic it's known that women are included in it, automatically. Anyone who knows real Arabic knows that. Allah set an example for the universe of the true believers. Who, Ya Allah? Tell us who. Was it Musa in his struggle? Was it Ismail in his struggle? Was it Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the great struggle he did until he became victorious? Was it Abu Bakr? Was it Umar? Who are you trying to set an example for, Ya Allah? وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ The wife of Fir'aun. A woman. Telling us men, telling the woman, you want an example of a true believer? Asiya. The wife of Fir'aun. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِندَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ Oh Allah, give me a house in heaven. You know the wife of Fir'aun was the stepmother of Musa. She's the one who raised Musa. Fir'aun is the stepfather of Musa. When they used to kill all the children of their time, Musa took him in and raised him by the will of Allah. Asiya was the stepmother of Musa. She said, رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِندَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ A sample for us. Please move up or move to the side. Come on up, please. Allah set an example of a woman who had, you know who Fir'aun was? Fir'aun was the one who used to say, I give life and death. Fir'aun is the one who said, one of the evilest people on this planet, I give life and death. He used to brag about his palace. His palace was over the river. أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ بِسْرَ Do I not own Egypt? And the oceans flow from under me. Those same oceans he bragged about flowing under him are the same ones that put an end to him. His wife was the total opposite of him. The symbol of the best believer you want. Allah tells you, you believers, you want a sample of a good believer, you look to a woman. Who is that woman? Asiya. You know what she did? She believed in Musa. When her biggest, Musa's biggest enemy was Fir'aun. He crucified his wife. And as she was being crucified, she said the verses I'm reciting to you. رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِندَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِن فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ Rescue me from Fir'aun. Build me a palace. I don't want his palace. I want a palace in heaven. You know the interpretation in the hadith say, as she was being crucified, Allah put the palace that he has prepared for in heaven in front of her eyesight that she was looking at. وَنَجِّنِي مِن فِرْعَوْنَ Rescue me from Fir'aun. وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ Rescue me from these oppressors. إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِندَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ Rescue me from the oppressors. Rescue me from Fir'aun. She died. Is that enough example? For us believers, us male believers, before the females, No. وَمَرْيَمَ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانِ Allah is saying, don't forget Maryam. Also, don't forget Maryam. We have another example for you. وَمَنْ يَمَبْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ الَّتِي أَحْصَرَتْ فَرْجَهَا فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا وَصَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّهَا وَكُتُبِهِ وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. The famous and most righteous believer, your shampoo, Asiya and Maryam. Where's Musa? Where's Isa? Where's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where's Abu Bakr? This is how Islam raised the status of a woman. This is how valuable our women are to our religion and to ourselves. Name me an issue in Islam. I tell you how the Muslims played a role in it. And sacrificing their life. I told you, the first Muslim on this planet is Khadija. The first da'iyah is Khadija. Among the first who migrated for Islam was a woman, Fatima bint Uqba. And you know who the first martyr of Islam is. This didn't happen coincidentally. This didn't happen coincidentally. It happened for a reason. To tell us men and to tell us women, these are your samples. These are your idols. The first mother of Islam was Sumayyah, radiallahu anha, the mother of Ammar. You know when they embraced Islam, they used to take every 3, every 30 in a group and torture. Yeah, son of Mecca. You know who the worst one on their hearts was? This little thin, tiny woman named Sumayyah. They were on her right side is Ammar, her son. On her left side is her husband. 27 other people in her group. The harshest one on them is this woman. The whips are on her, and she tells her, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah." So Abu Jahl goes up to her. She drove him in a rage. What are you doing? She spit on his face, and he went in a rage and stabbed him in an unmentionable spot. To the point that the Prophet seen him and shed his tears. Sabran ala yasir. Be patient ala yasir. Victory is only coming soon. Our appointment with you is in heaven. We will meet in heaven. The first martyr of Islam, a woman. The first one who lost physical parts for the sake of Allah, Zinira. They tortured her and tortured her and tortured her so she lost her eyes. In fact, it said that Umar is the one who tortured her. She lost her eyes. A woman. You know who Haram bint Milham is? Listen to this name and keep this name as your idol. Haram bint Milham is a woman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk in the alleys of Medina and say, "Gather me the family of Milham." What do you want with them, O Prophet of Allah? "I want to make dua for this family. Special family." So they gather. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to spend Zuhr and Asr sleeping. And from his wisdom to be close and social to the people, he chose certain houses every day. Sleep at their house. Honor. Knocking on the door is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "I want to sleep for a few hours before Asr." And he sleeps. One of the days it was Haram household. He sleeps. Wakes up. He's not waking up yawning. He's waking up laughing. Haram says, "May Allah make all your days happy. What's so funny?" He said, "I had a dream that there's an army leaving Medina, taking a ship, going in the ocean." Compare this to those who were here last week when I talked about Muhammad al-Fatih. The prophecies were only about men only. Muhammad al-Fatih, his prophecy of the prophets became true 850 years after the death of the prophet. Here's another one, but about a woman. He said, "They're going to go in a ship and go to lands in da'wah or jihad." What do you think this woman said? "Tell me more. What is it about?" "This could never happen. They've never seen water. These are people in deserts, in valleys. They've never seen water or oceans. Or probably the most they've seen was a puddle." She said, "Ask Allah that I be amongst them." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You're amongst the first of them. Not only are you from them, the first of them." And that was her hope. Every day, she wakes up to hear an army that's going to say, "Let's go in the ships. We're heading to a land to conquer it." The Prophet died. The prophecy never comes true. Abu Bakr leads the Ummah 2.5 years. the prophecy never comes true. Omar lived for 13 years, still no prophecy. Uthman comes and says, we're heading to what's today called Europe. What's today called Europe? Uthman, yes. Who's going to go? The first one who steps on that ship with the Sahaba is her and her husband, Ubad ibn Samit. She gets on the ship. The Prophet said, those who die in that are going to be like kings on the throne in the palaces of heaven. She has to die in order to get that reward. She goes over there, and as soon as she steps down in the shores of Cyprus. Cyprus. Our Sahaba went to Cyprus. Not as tourists, but as dua to spread Islam. When she got down, she stumbled over a stone and fell dead. She was the first one who died there. They buried her on the spot. This was the same woman who later on, in a battle before this, the tribes were coming in. After a battle, they were victorious. And Muslims had a lot of bloodshed. This was the woman, they told her, your father died. She said, move on, I didn't ask about my father. They said, one of your sons died. She said, go on, I didn't ask about my son. They said, your brother died. Go on, I didn't ask about him. And your cousin died. Go on. How was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When she seen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she felt to her and he says, everything after you is easy, O Prophet of Allah. Everything after you is easy. This woman is buried where now? You know where? In Cyprus. Muhammad al-Fatih took down Spain, in Albania, in Bosnia, in Herzeg. And this woman took down Cyprus. You know, brother, was her grave, by the way, is doing until today. On her grave in Arabic is written, على هدسون هذا قبر المرأة الصالحة. This is the grave of the righteous woman. This is the woman who entered Cyprus. You know, a brother was telling me, he's Arabic, said I went to Cyprus as a tourist. And you know, they want to make money. So one of the tourists said, give me some money and I'll take you to a grave of a righteous Arabic woman that died here hundreds of years ago. He said, leave me alone. I'm not coming here. I'm coming here to look at the girls, to look at the sites and everything. Wallah, when you go to that site, go and shed tears over a grave of a pious woman. A woman who was one of the ones, the first ones to conquer what's today Cyprus. A'ana that we threw away. That's no longer under our control. But Haram bin Milham was one of the first to give her life and blood for the sake of Allah. That was her goal. Every morning she woke up, how and when am I going on the ship for the sake of Allah? This was her goal. Amara. Wallah, I can go on and on with these examples of women. Our men, they came to say before our women. Amara radiallahu anha. Here's that someone is going to kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Qayyah. His name is Ibn Qayyah. So she goes in front of him. He goes to the right, she goes to the right. He goes to the left, she goes to he comes in the center. He doesn't want her. He wants the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she refuses. He hits her so hard that she falls down to her knees. She gets up. Then he takes his sword and continues to hit her shoulder until he breaks her bones, until she falls down. Her son Habib ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu comes running to aid of his mother. She said, leave me in the womb. The wound that played this cried by her son. He said, wallahi, there was a hole in her shoulder where bone is missing out that you could put your fist in it. He said, she told me, run to the aid of the Prophet, leave me alone, I'm fine. He runs to the aid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her wounds are later healed. Our women, not only were they women for themselves, who was this woman who later raised Habib? A woman like Umara, leave me alone. What happens to me is going to raise men. It's going to establish a real society. It's going to establish real men who give victory to Islam. Her son Habib later gets the specialty of taking a message. Musaylim al-Kazzab declared he's the Prophet of Allah. He told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Musaylim, the Messenger of Allah, to Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. Allah has made me a partner in your messengerhood. Give me half of your land and half of your wealth. We're partners in this matter.
And he sent a letter. So the Prophet sent a letter back from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Musaylimah the evil liar. Allah said in the Quran, "Inna al-ardha lillahi yuriduha man yasha." This earth is for Allah, He gives it to that who He pleases. Habib, take it to him. The son of Umamara, take this message to him. Musaylimah didn't know the norms of the society. Usually, ambassador, no matter what he does, he's free to go. You can't do anything. You can't retaliate against him. So he took the letter and went back. Musaylimah says, "Do you believe he's the messenger of Allah?" He said, "Yes, of course." He said, "Do you believe I'm the messenger of Allah?" He said, "What did you say? I can't hear you." He said, "I said, do you believe he's the messenger of Allah?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Do you believe I'm the messenger of Allah?" He said, "Well, I can't hear you." He said, "Bring the sword. Put the sword on his hand. Cut his hand as they're about to cut it. And cut him in. Do you believe Muhammad is the messenger of Allah?" "Yes." "Do you believe I'm the messenger of Allah?" The blood is gushing out. He says, "Well, I can't hear you." He's making a mockery out of the man. Other hand, his limbs, one after the other, until he died. And he's saying, "I can't hear you. What are you saying? I can't hear you." He's not saying that. The news gets to his mother. She says, "Umamara, wallahi alladhi la ilaha illa huwa, I'm going to kill him." It's funny. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't send an army near him. He was one of the most strongest people of his time after the two superpowers. He had a stronghold where no one could go near it. Umamara, you're going to kill him? What are you talking about? Women whose goals were supreme. I'm going to kill him. How are you going to kill him, Umamara? The Prophet died. Abu Bakr sends an army. And she's a soldier in that army. Legacy of women. Wallahi, legacy of women that put us to shame. She said, she goes in the army, and at the end of the battle, Abu Bakr and Khalid ibn al-Walid versus Musaylimah, Musaylimah falls down, and two people go to him. One with a spear, and one with a sword. You know who's with a spear? Wahshi, the one who killed Hamza. He swore by Allah before, "Wallahi, the same way I killed the most pious man, now I'm going to kill the most evil man." And he has a spear about to go into his hand. The one with the sword, no other than your mother, Umamara. She cuts him. As she's cutting him into pieces, someone from his supporters cuts her hand. She goes back to Medina happy. She said, "Wallahi, I'm going to kill him." She fulfilled her promise. But she doesn't have a hand. Every time someone comes to visit her, she doesn't have a hand. She's embarrassed. She doesn't sit with them. Word gets to Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. He gets up on the speech ladder and says, "Umamara?" She said, "Yes, Khalifa of the Muslims." She's in the women's section in the back. He said, "Umamara, you don't have a hand?" She says, "No, I don't have a hand. Embarrassed." He said, "You know that feet you to heaven, it's waiting you in heaven. Like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you lose a limb for the sake of Allah, it's awaiting you in heaven, meaning you're destined to heaven." She said, "It is. Wallahi, I'm going to be proud to show it to everyone after today. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd." And she goes around, you know what she does? When women are showing off their dresses and their makeup and their materialistic things, Umamara takes her hand out and says, look, I lost my hand for the sake of Allah. It's awaiting for me in heaven. These were your mothers. These were the meek women who knew the value of Islam, who knew the commitment to Islam. Name me any matter in Islam, I say, I give you examples where the women played a role. You may say, they played a role. What's the big deal about it? I say they played a role at a time when it was a shame to walk next to your wife. At a time when the men used to bury their daughters alive. This was a time Islam raised the woman from the gutter in politics. The Prophet gets up on the Kaaba and gives a speech over 10,000 people. 10,000. He gives a speech there and says, everyone is free to go. The kuffar and the Muslim, everyone is free to go. You who killed us, you who talked about us, you who made poems about us, you who paid for armies to come and attack us, we're victorious now, you're all free to go. Except for 10 people. And later on, he forgives most of the 10 people except for 4. The mercy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He don't want to see bloodshed. You know why he forgives most of those 10 people? He issued a command, 10,000 Sahaba under his feet, and he's standing on the door of the Kaaba.
It's your command. You kill these 10 people even if you find them hanging on the Kaaba. Why do you think that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave even those 10 people? For a woman. For a woman. Hani, his cousin. Hani is Ali ibn Abi Talib's sister. Hani is Ja'far ibn Abi Talib's sister, the cousin of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hani, a few of these 10 people ran into her house. Ali sees them. He says, Hani, sister, let these people out of when you kill them. She said, no. They sought refuge in me. They're not leaving. A woman, at a time where she was under the feet of the leader of Quraysh, now she tells Ali ibn Abi Talib, I'm not going to free them. They're under my control. They're under my guardianship. He says, free, let them go. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kill them even if they're hanging on the Kaaba. She said, no. She secured her house. And headed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look what Ali ibn Abi Talib is doing. He wants to kill them and they're in my refuge. A woman. You know, today, some of us think it's manly when your wife or your mother tell you something, you do the opposite just so you can feel like a man. This is, happens a lot. A mother says something, how could I listen to my... You want to do it, but just because your mother said it, a female said it, or a husband or wife said it, you want to do the opposite so you can feel like a man. The Prophet takes back a command he issued over 10,000 people and says, Hani, whoever you give refuge to, we give refuge to. Hani, whoever you give refuge to, we give refuge to. Whatever you want, Hani. And we let them go free. Salama radiallahu anha did one of the save this ummah. This ummah was on the verge of destruction. Look at the opinion of women, how much we value them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heading to Mecca. They stop him. You can't go. The Sahaba eager to make Umrah. Eager to make Umrah, they say, we'd rather die than go back. The Prophet says, Allah told me, don't go back, don't go there, make peace with them, we come back another year. And the Sahaba had a quarrel. Even the ones with the Prophet ﷺ who agreed with them, which is Abu Bakr, said, what are we going to do? The Sahaba are in a rage. They want Umrah. They want to worship in the Kaaba. Umar ibn Khattab walks from Sahaba to another and tells them, aren't we on the truth? He said, yeah. Isn't this our messenger? Yes. If we die, don't we go to heaven? Yes. What are we losing? Let's go. Let's go for that. He goes to Sahaba. When he reaches Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr says, Ilzam gharsaka ya Umar. Stop at your limit, Umar. Don't get the Sahaba to go against the order of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But still, doesn't solve anything. The scholars say, the woman, this woman, Salama, saved the Ummah from the verge of hellfire. What happened? The Prophet walks in on his wife. And he's mad. She said, what's wrong with the Prophet? He said, they're doomed. One command. Pay attention to this. One command, they're doomed because they don't obey it. What do we say today? What do we say today when we have commands and commands we don't obey? One command, they're doomed. They're doomed. She said, what? She said, they won't listen to me. She said, you want them to shave their hair and go back? He said, yes. Wisdom of Salama radiallahu anha saved us. Saved us from hellfire because we would have been descendants of people who betrayed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, go over there and tell the barber to cut your hair off in front of them. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. They think this is a matter of bargain. We can persuade the Prophet. When they see you determined, that says, these are your friends. Go and let them cut your hair. You're going to see all of them following your footsteps. Wallahi, that's exactly what happened. As soon as they seen him cutting his hair, every Sahaba brought his friend and they cut his hair. And from their anger, they used to cut the heads of the guy they're cutting because their anger. They want to fight, they want to slug, and this didn't happen, so they take their anger and frustration on each other. But look at the wisdom of a woman. Wisdom of a woman saved the ummah. You know, when I mention a lot that story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he migrated from Medina, from Mecca to Medina, the story comes like this. He left his house at night and he threw dirt at the young people of Quraysh and threw it at their faces and said, فَجْعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ عَيْدِهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا. The next follow-up story says he went to Abu Bakr Siddiq's house in Dhuhr, a Dhuhr time where he never used to visit Abu Bakr, and said, Abu Bakr, now it's time to go. There's a time lapse there. In this study, I used to always say, I want to look at the authenticity of these narrations. I want to look, maybe one of them is weak. How could he leave his house at night and then leave from Abu Bakr's house at Dhuhr? Where is it? There's about 12 hours difference right there. 8 hours over there. Where was he? You know where he was. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, first of all, before that, who do you think told the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tonight the night they planned to kill him? He didn't know that night. It was a woman named Raqiq, radiallahu anha. Came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and saved your Prophet's life. A woman. No one other than a woman. She came and said, today is the night they planned to kill you. Tonight. Not only that, you know where he was those 8 hour time lapse that we always think about? You gotta look deep, deep into the history books to find it. Wallah. He was at a widow's house who had children in the outskirts of Mecca hiding out. Who saved your Prophet's life? A woman told him where he was. And a woman is the one who he saved himself with in 8 hours. And you know what? A woman is the one who saved his life in the cave. Woman. This is the value of women. Islam was raised on the shoulder of our women. This is the role they play. This is how we achieve victory. You know who saved his life when he was in the cave with Abu Bakr? Asma radiallahu anha. Asma. From woman to woman to woman. Asma radiallahu anha. They tell her, you bring us food. Abu Jahl comes to Asma radiallahu anha and tells Asma, where's your father? What does Asma do? Young teenager, what does she do? Oh, mommy, come and help me. Oh, cry and shed her tears. You know what she does? She says, I don't know where he is. It's firm. He slaps her so hard that her earrings fall off and she falls on the floor. Where is he? I don't know. They let her go. You know why she's the one out of all the people who brought the food? Something, you gotta look deep into the history to know it. Why Asma? She's the daughter of Abu Bakr. They could follow Asma radiallahu anha. They could follow Asma and find where she was. How come it was Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, not one of the daughters of the Sahaba in Mecca to go with her? You know why Asma? Asma was pregnant 7 months. Asma was pregnant for 7 months. They wonder, how could a woman pregnant 7 months in the hot desert of Mecca walk from where? Mecca, the middle of Mecca, to the ghar where the cave where the Prophet was hiding out, and climb the mountain and she's pregnant 7 months. 7.5 months. And by the way, we have sisters here who are pregnant. I don't want to forget to make dua for them, especially the wife of Brother Muhammad Abid Rabbo, Sister Nancy. She's pregnant, I think, about 9 months. We ask Allah that her and the rest of the sisters with us who are pregnant, they give birth to their kids, and that their kids become heroes who raise the victory of Islam. Inshallah, they become very, very healthy kids. And inshallah, they please their parents and please this ummah as a whole. The goal of a woman when she has a son or a daughter is to put in your eyesight that this kid is the one who's going to bring victory to Islam. You look at him in a special way. That daughter is going to be like Haram. That daughter is going to be like Amara. That son is going to be like Abu Bakr and Umar Uthman. You look at them in a special, unique way. Inshallah, I think any day, as the brother told me, any day they're going to give, she's going to give birth. And she's, I think, with us today. We ask Allah that she give birth and a very, very healthy birth to her child. And that we get the news, inshallah, of that. So this was a pregnant woman. And this was a woman who was devoted to Islam. You name me any matter of Islam, I tell you, in working. Women worked. You know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam built a tent for a woman. That tent was a hospital. It was a hospital. This woman was a pediatrician of her time. And she was mastered medicine to the point when Sa'd ibn Mu'adh got wounded, he ordered that woman to come and nurse him because no one else knew how to nurse him. Is there a restriction? Of course. Him bin Utbah radiallahu anha, the woman who killed Hamza after she became Muslim, she goes to Umar ibn Khattab. I want to be a businesswoman. Umar says, okay, go. What's stopping you? We don't know any restrictions on that. Don't you know Khadija, what she used to do? I want to be a businesswoman. Go. No, she says, I want money from the house of the Muslims to invest it and become a businesswoman. The first woman to get loan from the house of the Muslims is Bint Utbah. Why? She needed it? Because she wanted to be a businesswoman. And other women in the same manner worked at the time of the Prophet. However, to work, there must be restrictions. Because we don't want our women to go work and come back molested every day. We don't want our women to go work and come back pregnant with another man's son every day. We don't want the productivity to die out. When you put a man and a woman in a skirt up to her half her size,
What productivity is going to happen? The only productivity is going to happen is getting her each other phone numbers next to each other. That's what killed the society. That's what devastated the society. That's why the society is full with cases of discrimination of against women, of sexual harassment. That's one of the biggest areas of law right now. Sexual harassment in the workshop. Why? You put a man and you put a woman. He's not a robot and she's not a robot. They're going to have something going on. The Prophet told us this. So to have a woman working, we're all for it. But there has to be heavenly restrictions from on top of seven skies. The one who created us is the one who knows how to make rules for us, fit for us, and that's why he made rules for our work spot. Women in knowledge. One of the most knowledgeable, if not the most knowledgeable person, Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha, Urwa ibn Zubayr, her nephew says, wallahi, when the Sahabis used to quarrel over a fiqh matter, they head to Aisha. Aisha says about Zainab bin Jahash, I never seen a more scholarly woman than Zainab. Look at Bukhari, open Bukhari. Look how many women narrated hadith. If we have no credibility for them, what are they doing in the Sahih al-Bukhari? Women had knowledge, women spread knowledge, women were of women of knowledge back then. You name an area, I give you. Women in marriage. Do we force our women to get married? Do we harass them? You know, Aisha radiallahu anha had a slave named Barira. Barira, she freed her. She said, it's time. Barira was married to a man, a slave. And you know, when your slave in a battle crippled, when she's freed, she has the right to either stay with her husband or divorce him. Barira chose to divorce him. But her husband loved her very much. He cried a lot over her. You know, some guys who get madly in love, they have a weak heart. So he cried a lot over her. So one time they're around the Kaaba, Barira's walking happy and she's a free woman. Her husband is behind her crying. He wants her back. And Abbas and the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ are sitting there. And Abbas says, he broke my heart. The Prophet said, yeah. He did too, to me too. Broke my heart too. I'll go talk to him. He went talk to him, to her. She said, are you ordering me to marry him? He said, no, I'm suggesting. She said, if you're suggesting, I don't want you. We don't force someone. It was the desire of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get her married. But the Prophet himself couldn't even force her. You know, Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu anhu. Uthman ibn Maz'un was a sahabi, he fell ill. On his deathbed, he told his brother, I want you to choose for my daughter the best man to give it to him. His wife from Malay, as soon as he died, Uthman ibn Maz'un went around looking who's the best sahabi. He found Abdullah ibn Umar, one of the best sahaba, top rank. At the time he's looking for ibn Umar, Al-Mughira ibn Shu'ba comes, one of the most eloquent sahaba. Yeah, not as good as ibn Umar. And asks for a hand and tells her, I'm rich and he's an eloquent speaker, and he wins their heart. So they go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uthman says, I chose ibn Umar, and Al-Mughira came and bypassed me and went and asked for a hand. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Man tahwa. Who's she madly in love with? The Prophet talks love. Who's she madly in love with? He said, she's in love with Al-Mughira. She said, La ara lil mutahabbina illa nikah. You know, words so eloquent, so nice. If a poet or someone said it, we take it always chant it in our streets. But the Prophet says that we hide it in our books. He said, the two in love, make sure they get married. And Mughira, although it was the wish to get that better man, Ibn Umar, but he refused. Those two in love, get them married. Words, poets, other people could never compare to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How merciful the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with women. You know, when Aisha was on her monthly date, the Prophet, you know, in retaliation to those who won't sit with their women when they're on their monthly period, like the Jews, they won't sit with them. He used to sit with Aisha, and she'd drink from a cup. And after she drank from a cup, he'd take the cup and sit and look. What are you looking for, O Prophet of Allah? He's looking for her lip marks, where they're on there, to drink from that same spot to make her sure. You're my wife. I love you. You know why he called Aisha? What do you call Aisha? He never called her Aisha. Ya Aish. You know what Aish means? My sweetheart. A spoiled name for Aisha. Always called her that. He was in love. The Prophet ﷺ was in love with Khadija. This was a story I didn't mention last time when we talked about Khadija. He went to conquer Mecca. The leader come, the one who wants him to forgive, the one who wants to give him commitment, the one who wants to put charity. He sees the old woman and he runs to her. He runs to her and sits with Allah. Who's this old woman? And they talk and talk and talk. After he comes back, Aisha says, who's this old woman you're sitting with? You left all the leaders, all the situation of the ummah, and you go to her? He says, she was the friend of Khadija. Khadija, he loved her so much that to the point, after death, the old woman, he leaves everything. It was another story that I mentioned that we, when we talked about Khadija. This was in the conquer of Mecca, where he left everything and went to the love of a woman. He loved Khadija so much that he went to one of her old friends. You know, Anjasha was a man, who was a black man who used to lead their camels, and the woman used to ride on it. And the Prophet told him, Ya Anjasha, Rizqan bil Qawarir. Rizqan bil Qawarir. You know what Rizqan bil Qawarir means? Easy with the vase. You know what that means? You know, some rich people have vases that cost 200 and 500,000. And if you go near that area, where the, watch it. That vase is expensive. Watch it. The Prophet said, Rizqan bil Qawarir. Those women you're with, Rizqan. You know what he meant? You know what he meant? When you, Anjasha had a nice voice. And when he cut the travel journey, he used to sing Islamic songs, poetry, and lead the camel. His voice was so nice that the camel itself would start to shake from his voice. Play with his feet. Who would shake on top of it? A woman's heart. A woman's heart. Easy with that woman's heart. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. You know, to the point, at a time, you know, I asked Claire who's married. And Allah gives him three girls and raises them righteously, they're a very awesome help for him. Another hadith, at the time, Islam broke all the norms to oppress women. It broke all of them. At another hadith, the Prophet said, whoever Allah blesses him with three girls, not three boys, never. We don't have a hadith that says if Allah blesses you with a boy, you're going to be a shirk from him. Girls. Who Allah blesses him with three girls, and he raises them, and spends on them, and is merciful to them, Allah's going to reward him with nothing other than heaven. A sahabi got up and said, what about two? I have two girls. And he said, two girls, that's fine. The narrator of the hadith, might put a follow-up on this hadith, he says, wallahi, I was shy to ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if I have one girl, would he accept that as a path to heaven? And he says, the narrator says, wallahi, if I said one girl, he would have, wallahi, he said, yes, it's a path. That's how much the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated the woman. More so than that, an old woman comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Small house, Aisha's house was one bedroom. She comes in, she says, oh Prophet of Allah, I served my husband all these years. I gave him the kids. I was his pleasure. I took away his depression. I was his happiness. I took away his sorrow. And after I became old, he says, you're like my mother to me. No relationship with me. The relationship between me and you is like the relationship between me and my mother. This is called zihara. A matter of fiqh in Islam called zihara. She said it so low, a tiny room. If you go visit the Prophet ﷺ, it's great. You see the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, the past of it, tiny, very small. Aisha said, wallahi, I didn't hear what she said. She was whispering to the Prophet ﷺ, she didn't want Aisha to hear. You know who heard? Allah. Allah heard it. And the whole surah comes down for this woman. He did that to you? قَدْ سَمِعُ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا Allah heard you. The one who's complaining to you about her husband. وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ She complains to Allah. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ تَحَاوِرَكُمَا Allah knows the debate that went on between you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِعًا عَلِيمًا Allah hears and knows everything. And then he went on to talk about the resolution of what she said. Aisha used to say, praise Allah, the one who I was sitting next to the Prophet, I couldn't hear him. Allah from on top of seven skies heard him. We have a surah in the Quran, Surah what? In Nisa. Where's Surah Al-Rijal? We don't have a Surah Al-Rijal, the value of women. That's a value. This woman who Allah revealed the surah for, used to go to Umar. You say, Umar? Hijayib, Khalifa. There's men around him. You're the one they used to call you Umair? Umair is baby Umar. When you were a baby, we used to call you Umair. Now you became Umar. Now you're the Khalifa of the Muslims. Come over here, I want to talk to you. A woman tells that to Umar al-Khattab. The Sahaba ran after her. They want to kill her. What are you doing? Talking like that to our Khalifa. He said, do you know who this woman is? This is the woman Allah reveals verses. Someone saw us of the sky. You see how we church? She told Umar and warned him, you better not do this. And you do this. She saw Allah all the time complaining to Umar. And Umar patiently listening to her. This is how we cherish our women. أَقُولُ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين أما بعد. You know, this is a topic I wanted to break it over 5-6 khutab, but I fear the brothers. That's what I fear, that they want other topics that are on the list. But this is an important topic in the stories. Go on and on and on. Wallahi, there's no end to these kind of stories of the hero of the women in Islam. Our women, we hold in high honor. You know, the women in this society, they use them for as a sex symbol. They can't sell government refreshment gum without having the twins on the commercial to sell their gum. This is what they use them. And those two twins wait when they get in their 80s. They'd be trashed. That's what they are. Us Muslims, when we have our women, the older our women get, the more respect we give them. Ummah. Summa ummah. Your mother. Your mother. I see societies where, wallahi, the children, 5 or 6 brothers, fight. Who want to take care of their mother? And I see societies, wallahi, we went to buy a house one time. Very good deal. Wondering, why is it a good deal? There's an 80-year-old, approximately 70-year-old woman in a wheelchair. And around the house is pictures of a nice woman. She said, this was me, I was a model. Now I don't have enough money to make. My house was full with guys. Yeah. She has the beauty. She has the guys. She has the wealth. When that's gone, the wrinkles are on, she's trash. You want to sell her house before they foreclose on it. This is their society. Their society is just in this khutbah. Actually, this one was pretty long, but in a khutbah, that's a half an hour or 2 hours or 1 hour. You know how many women get abused by someone they know? Just in the matter of 1 hour. Over 250 or 260 women. In a matter of 1 hour, 260 women in the society. Who's civilized? I say this and keep this in your hearts. Keep this in your minds. The problem is they're always against Islam. Islam is way, way past its time. Way past its time. Where do we have shelters? You know, in this country, there's 2,500 shelters just for abused women. Where do we have this? You lay your hand on your wife or a woman in Islam, their hand's going to get cut off under the justice of Islam. We raise our women, someone mocking her in the street. I told you last week 4 stories. Armies in its entirety just for someone mocking them. We're saying, this is a woman. When women know their value in Islam, we achieve victory. When women know their role in Islam, we achieve our victory. When men know the value of women in Islam, we achieve our victory, because that woman is the one who built society. You know, Allah created Adam from what? From dirt. Because he's going to work in dirt. He's going to make the car, he's going to build, he's going to work out in the streets, in the open. The woman is the one who makes the generation. Not only generation, as you see in the history, all this da'wah. She's the one who's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says in the Quran, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Tranquility for you. Allah says she's the tranquility. You know, if Allah only created man, all you're going to see is wars and fights. You know, I don't want to go far away, but last year, you see in our MSA, we had among the most pious women who raised this MSA to speak. Women are the ones who did that last year. Women were the ones who did that. And I want to say, I don't want to go too far away and say other examples. But in our, if it was left to men alone, we would have been doomed. This is just a small example. The big example on the way is more and more than that. Their tranquility. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّ رَحْمًا. Love and peace in that relationship. There's a tranquility for you. You know how well was created? Adam fell asleep in heaven. He was born and he fell asleep. Authentic hadith. So he fell asleep and out of his rib came Hawa. He woke up to a being next to him. He said, who are you? She said, I'm Hawa. He said, what are you? I'm a woman. What are you scared for? She says, I'm your tranquility. They're the peace. They're the ones we cherish. And it's, you know, they massacre us in Palestine. They destroy us. They kill us. They kill us in India. You know, I just read a statistic. A brother told me 30,000 men got burned in India. A man from India, from the Mujahideen there, told me 30,000 cats killed in India. 30,000. In this past few months that's going on. They can kill us. They can do what they want. They'll never defeat us. If we let our guard down on our women, we're doomed. We're doomed. Because our women are our treasure. We protect our treasure. If we let that treasure go, that's when we're truly defeated. ثم صلوا على خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين فقد أمركم الله بالصلاة والسلام عليه فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى عليه واحدة صلى الله عليه بعشرة اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء الأئمة الحنفاء أبي بكر الصديق وعمر الفاروق وذي النورين عثمان وأبي الستين علي وعن آل بيت نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وعن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن الصحابة والتابعين وعنا معهم بمنك وعفوك وإحسانك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين ودمر أعداء الدين وأهلك الزنادقة والملحدين اللهم ارفع علم الجهاد وانصر المجاهدين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في فلسطين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في فلسطين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كشمير اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون I ask Allah to reward you all, especially the ones who come and drive from distances to come here, the sisters and the brothers. May Allah reward you all. That's the first thing. The second thing, this was a khutbah that's long because we know that there's no classes today, inshallah, in the future it won't be this long. And the third thing, there's tape recorded. Last week there was a lot of tape recorded and a brother was walking around deterring the brothers from recording. We don't deter no one from recording. Anyone want to record, you're welcome to record it. And if there's any comments or anything, you can ask Osman. He's the one in charge. And you ask him. You know why we don't deter someone from recording? What we say here, we don't fear anyone, you know? What we say here is what we say in our houses. What we say in our houses is what we say in other public places. So if you have something to fear, you tell people don't record. You don't have nothing to fear, record. Bring more recorded, we don't mind that at all. And the brother asked Allah to forgive him for saying that to those who were deterred from bringing their tape recorded. Jazakum Allah khair wa aqim as-salah.